started. It's 11 o'clock. I appreciate everyone jumping on today that's on. We'll open it up for questions first, if there's any specific questions anyone has. And then if not, we'll get into a couple things that we have. So does anyone have any questions? Okay. Well, there's a couple of things we want to bring up. Obviously, we are getting excited for cutover to begin down in Kane County August 1st. The summer is flying by, unfortunately, for us. We have had a lot of progress on our expansion sites. And right now, we are projecting that all of those have been completed by the first week of August. So we've had some delays with some of the construction, and now I will address some of those more specifically here in a minute after some of the other division directors talk about the things they want to talk about. I'm going to turn it over to Phil and then Dan and Mike, and then I'll come back to wrap up after they go. So Phil, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. So as has been mentioned on previous calls, my role is over the infrastructure. And as part of that, my team's been working on the console setup and configuration related to the consoles. We've been out at a lot of the PSAPs, integrating the VHS configuration as well as the P25 configuration. We've got a lot of go back tasks where the item wasn't solved, or needed more parts or things like that. And so we're looking to wrap up all of that pretty quickly here in the next month. So we just appreciate if you are associated with a PSAP or something like that, that you try to accommodate our schedule and get us in there to work on those things. Also, if you have any furniture replacement, carpet replacement, building moves, you're going to digital paging or something like that, and if we haven't already talked about it, then we need to talk about those things because they could affect cutover and how all of this rolls out. We've seen all those in one form or another. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. If I could say, if you do have something and you haven't notified us, if there's a way you can delay it till after January for us, it's probably going to be the most realistic for us to meet any of your needs outside of our cutover.
Yeah, that's true. Same goes for, new console requests, things related to just changing the current configuration. We're basically in a lock period where we've got to keep the configuration locked until we can cut over to the new system and move on. Any questions on that? Okay. Does anyone have any questions for me related to infrastructure? I think that's all I really had for today for this call.
Dan, do you want to talk about end user radio training?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank those that attended in person and online. I had more people than I expected in one of the sessions, less than the others, but we had pretty good turnout online. There are materials that were presented in that training that will be available on our website. I can't say exactly when, but it'll be shortly. And there is a recording of that training and that presentation. So if those that didn't attend either online or in person would like a copy of that presentation, feel free to send me an email and I will get you a copy of that, whether it's a SharePoint or some online access to get that. I'm happy to put my email in the chat. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
I did have one more comment, Mike, if I can.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm always famous for go
already,
back
Phil.
To. Yeah. If you haven't already got your backup radios installed and or your recorder systems up and running, then those need to be up and running prior to us coming into your area for final cut. That's, I guess, really my only comment there.
Awesome. Okay, Mike V.
Thank you. Yeah, just a couple things. And we've internally we've been working as a team, and I say team because everybody in UCA is participating in finalization of personalities and co-plugs for this final go. So my team's working hard on that to make sure that that's accurate. We'll be reaching out to try and make sure that the options features that are in the base templates are accurate with your agencies before we get there. My team will work on adjusting those as we come out and go through the process, because we want to make sure that your users walk away with a clean radio that works the way they expect it to, and that they're not issues. We found through the soft cutover some of that came up, and so we want to address that and make sure that the final cutover is cleaner with those things. UCA is also addressing the understanding and knowledge that we are going to have two systems running at the same time, and that your agencies and your officers out in the field have a need for safety with aliases and all that. So we've actually assigned another individual in our organization to assist with aliases to keep the databases running through both transitions. So we're going to work our best to make sure those aliases are updated from now and through the final cut in both systems. And we're coming up with final processes for that. So we want to assure that, again, you walk away with the safety and security that you need and that you expect from UCA and from the radios that your users provide. So we'll continue to work on that. You should probably see potentially some other processes coming out if you're asking for alias updates here shortly on the way that we're going to gather that information and also provide you the ability to do some stuff for us as well. So we appreciate our team stepping up and doing that as well. We have been still programming radios, but we're kind of at that point where the radio's not on the system, you know, really should wait till cutover. So if it's not an absolute public safety need that it can wait, we would ask that you hold those radios till final cutover. We know that some radios have to be adjusted here and there, and we're willing to work on that through the next little bit. But once we start August 1st, my team will be fully engaged in programming new radios. So after that date, we'll be out doing that. And so those radios will need to wait until we go live on the new system. So we would appreciate your help in that, to making sure that that process helps. We were able to get a lot of those that you guys have received from Motorola and other vendors during the soft cutover, which is awesome. So hopefully most of those, the majority of what you have gotten new is ready to go for final programming on the system. So other than that, like I said, we're just working towards the final cutover like the rest of the team here at UCA, and a lot of work to be done, but we're excited to hit that final phase.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Does anyone have any questions for Mike? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. Just a couple of things I wanted to reiterate. The one thing that Phil said, which is we're not going to allow any additional radio consoles on our system at this point. If you have a need or want for additional radio consoles, that will have to wait till after January. And then for the PSAPs that selected specific options regarding their backup radios, we UCA paid for and ordered the ABR kits for those. We know that those have now been received. So they're supposed to be to our warehouse today. So we'll get those shipped out to the PSAPs so that those can also be installed, because that will be part of that process. And then we are really excited, like Mike said, to automate the alias request process. That will be happening sooner rather than later, so we can start working the bugs out of that. But we understand the need to continually maintain those aliases on the legacy system and the new system as we are cutting over. So we know we can't put a stop to that. So we'll keep maintaining those updates. If there's a possibility you don't need to change your radios, that'd be great too. But we understand that sometimes there are. So Mike or Phil, do you guys want to talk about the importance of charging the batteries on the L3H radios, the screen timeout, and the noise cancellation settings that are important for those that have purchased the L3H radios?
Yes, I think let's hit on batteries first. If you haven't pulled those your batteries out for L3Harris radios and started charging them, it's best that you do that immediately and start getting those in banks. The couple of reasons for that, they have in many cases been sitting for a while prior to, you know, them being programmed or even after that point. So it's important to get those charged, number one, to make sure that they're charging, because if they're not, that's something that you'll need to work through with L3Harris to get replacements. There's a good possibility that you're going to find a battery or two here and there that maybe don't accept a charge or they're not connecting, and that's something you want to make sure you don't go live and not have a battery. So it's good to get those out and start charging those, getting those in a cycle of charging to make sure that they're ready to go when we cut live and you're able to use your L3Harris radios. As far as like the timeout on your screen, there's options in there, and there's a base template that's been set on when the screen goes dark. That can be adjusted in the radio. Every radio was programmed with the ability of going into your settings menu and being able to go into your display settings and change that. So I think it's important that if you have a radio that's timing out, that you look at those settings in there. You can do it as a global set and when you touch that radio, if you have capabilities of reprogramming radios, if you have the software, you can go in and change that option as you touch radios and do it that way. But your end user can also go in and adjust that if they're having issues with it timing out too soon by going into the menu, into the radio configuration settings, and there's an option for display. It'll let you choose the brightness of the screen. It'll let you choose how soon it'll time out and when it'll time out. And you can adjust that for both the top display and the front display on the L3Harris radios. In that same settings menu, the radios are, and I think as those of you that attended the L3Harris meetings when they were talking about their radios and pre-sales to a lot of agencies, one of the features they talked about that they were excited about was the ability to do noise cancellation. That feature is in the radios that have been programmed. It's something that unless you're in a loud situation, should be turned off. If you're under a rotor wash or in a noisy environment, that's the situation where you're going to want to turn that on. But by default, it's often turned on in the radio. So that can be adjusted in the settings in the same way by going into that same settings menu and into the audio adjustments and turning the echo reduction off, or I just lost the word for it. Anyways, so you can turn it off so it's just using the single mic instead of the three mics. When you have that on, and I spoke with Harris specifically, when that is on, you still need to talk extremely loud. So if you have an individual that talks very softly, that's something to probably bring up with them, is that if they have noise cancellation on in their system, they have to talk extremely loud to be able to be heard on that radio. And the microphone that's being used is the top left microphone, so it's right at the top screen underneath the volume. That's the best place for them to adjust their communications into that device. Dan's showing it on the screen there. So top left, right underneath your volume, is where that mic, the main microphone, picks up. So when there's noise cancellation on, if they adjust their direction of voice into that mic, they're going to be better off on being heard too. Those are a couple of the things that we have found as we at UCA have been doing some final testing and tuning of the system and using some of the radios that we wanted to make sure passed on to you guys so that you're aware of that. And if you need help adjusting that or seeing that further, we can get something out to you, or you can contact me and I can walk you through some of that.
Hey, Mike, if I can just interject and just add a little to that topic. It was pointed out yesterday, and we experienced this at UCA. If you're using the noise cancellation feature in a quiet area, the radio will take your voice as noise, and it will all but clamp you completely down. So that needs to be used with extreme care. Anything but the noisiest environments, you really should not be using the noise canceling. So that's all I had to add. Oh, well, sorry, I do add one more thing. The display timeout settings, minimum is 5 seconds for the display timeout. Any shorter than that, and your fingers, you can't push the buttons quick enough before that times out. And if you put it for its lowest setting, which is half a second, the only way to change it will have to be touched with the software, because you seriously cannot push the buttons fast enough to get to that to change it. So keep that in mind when you get those, 5 seconds minimum. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, you guys. Great information. Just so you guys know, we have our techs have switched over. Well, UCA, we've switched over to the new system. And so we did that 2 weeks ago, Monday, I believe. And it's been very beneficial. We realized that some backend programming changes needed to occur. So it's been really, really helpful for us. We have made a bunch of setting changes and stuff that I think that will be beneficial to our agencies once we cut over. And it's nice that we're learning on our guys when they're not in critical situations like your customers are or your agencies are. So we've been really happy with it. So again, you guys know, since we've given you your radios and programmed your radios with some of the P25 talk groups, that you can go to the P25 talk groups and talk to each other, not your dispatchers, unless they've got the consoles on. We are going to be asking the PSAPs to do some console and talk group testing, but that we'll get that out to the PSAPs in the next week or two. But if you want, we, again, still are asking not for you to not do coverage testing, if you will, because not all of the sites will be on all the time. We constantly are turning them up and turning them off and things like that. And so don't rely on it, and you don't need to go out and do your own coverage testing, because I don't think until we're live, you'll really have the ability to figure out where your coverage is and that.
And don't rate us based on the performance yet, because there's dry testing that's still going on in the state, and it turns out that you know, you can get bumped by that dry testing as far as when you place a call. So, you know, if that occurs, just know that we're still in test mode.
Right. That's one thing we did find out, that we do. Our guys have had some missed coverage or missed traffic, and it's been because of the drive testing, which has been great. So we've had a lot of lessons learned over the last 2.5 weeks, which has been good. Again, we want to try and learn as many lessons as we can before we have an agency go live, for sure. So just a quick update. I was going to just share a quick screen with you guys. Okay, are you seeing my slides? The Coal Mountain Ranch slide, Bill? Yeah, okay. So this is Coal Mountain Ranch. This is in Salina Canyon. We're really excited about the site. They've never had coverage up in this canyon, so we're excited about this. That was probably 3 weeks ago. These are our expansion sites that we previously reported had been completed, Castlegate and on. I won't read them all. These have been completed since our last board meeting, so not since our last UCA chat meeting, but these four have been completed. And then these are the remaining of our expansion sites, our 25 expansion sites. These are the ones that we have left. This is a slide that I used for our board meeting last week. And so since that time, Liberty has been completed. We've made a ton of progress on our sites. We have, we still have work to do, but we're really excited about what our coverage is looking like and what our sites, you know, being able to build out. I may have mentioned last chat that we did have, we got our budget approved by our board last week. And in that budget, we did get approval for six new sites, six full sites. So we plan on looking at what their coverage is once we get cut over, you know, start assessing the situation and seeing where we need full sites versus our micro sites that I think we talked about that we've, that our radio division has, put together. So we're really excited about those. And we'll focus on canyons for those micro sites. So there's probably, if we thought we were busy a month ago, I would say we're two times as busy now. And I think it will probably be just pretty much that way all through the month of July and then beginning cutover. There'll be 1,000 tweaks and 1,000 things going on. I think we would just ask for your patience and, you know that there will be hiccups and that we are literally working every minute of every day on this project. And so we're excited to begin cutover. We're excited to get through the project and get to the other side of it. So anyway, are there any questions or comments or concerns? I don't see any hands or anything up. Okay. Well, if my team doesn't have anything else, and none of you on the chat have anything, then we'll call it. And we appreciate you guys joining. If you have any questions, reach out to us, please. We're happy to talk to you and resolve any concerns that you have. So thank you so much.